I give honor to the Lord on this morning. I might have said it, but hey, once is just not enough. I honor his blessed son, Jesus. I honor his precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Give honor to everyone that is in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. We serve a great and an awesome God. He is a holy God. Hallelujah. And anything we can do with him. I honor his blessed son, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Okay, I'm gonna go with the message for today. Let's get started. Otherwise, I think we'll be here about 4 o'clock. Ooh. Okay. We're talking about surrendering to God. Talking about calling on the Lord. And one of the most important things that we need to call on him for, we're going to talk about today. Hallelujah. And it's about surrendering to him. We have an understanding and an idea of what we call surrendering to God, but we have to surrender to him according to his instructions, his design, and not our own. So let's go to, we're going to be, most of our scriptures is coming from the Living Bible. You are reading your Bible on your phone, you can do the translation of the Living Bible, or you can just read it on the screen. But we're going to go to 1 John chapter 1. Verses 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and refusing to accept the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended on to forgive us and to cleanse us from every wrong. And it is perfectly proper for God to do this for us, because Christ died to wash away our sins. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Tell your neighbor, look at one of your neighbors and tell them, say, Christ died to wash away your sins. And can you explain to them what that really means? It means that that's what he died for, to wash them away. But how they actually get washed is for you to go to him, call out to him, cry out unto him for the sins that you recognize that's in you, and even some that you may not have recognized that's in you, but you know you didn't cross every T and dot every I. But you got to go to him so that the redemptive work that he did on the cross, it can be handed to us once we truly repent. Hallelujah. Okay. Stop feeling like you did nothing wrong. Because most of the wrong that we do, it's not on the outward. It's not what's shown, but it's what we feel and what we think on the inside. And that's what we got to get rid of. Hallelujah. We got, let me start. God. Last week, I think it was last week, maybe in Bible study, that I was telling you about the things that we think when somebody does something to us, something hurts us, something bothers, some people treat us ways that we feel are negative. Remember, I was telling you that, and the scripture said that when we feel that way about a person, that's how we're feeling about God. Remember? And he took my mind back to my thoughts and my feelings and my words and my expressions about our sweet and loving president of the United States. Not funny, I'm for real. He is sweet and loving because he thinks he is. He's sweet and loving in his own way. But even Elon Musk's name, I used out of character. I had thoughts concerning President Trump. There weren't good thoughts. Now, I'm not going to lie and say I don't hurt for the people that are hurting because of his decisions, but I'm asking you to forgive me for everything that I thought about him, everything that I said about him. Hallelujah, because truthfully, that was the way I thought about God. President Donald Trump is God's picked allowance for us. So when we get disturbed about what he's doing, hallelujah, and thinking ill towards him, we're thinking ill towards God because that is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning the whole United States of America. We need to get back to God. Trump is just a tool that the Lord is using to show us that we've left our first love. So will y'all please forgive me for talking about your wonderful president? Because what God has designed him to do, he's doing well. He is. The word of God says God created the wicked for the day of trouble. God, it took trouble to show Israel that they had a God that loved them and they rejected him, rejected his love. We reject God's love all day, every day. He's trying to get us back to him. And I thank God for Donald Trump, President Donald Trump. Hallelujah. Because through it all, at the end of whatever he does, God will be glorified. And he will restore whom he wants to restore. Hallelujah. Or leave us where we yet need to be. We were talking about this morning in Christian education about confidence. God is showing us, he will show us and has shown us thus far, but going to show us some more, how we have lost our confidence in him and our confidence is in ourselves. So every time President Donald Trump does something that you feel is bad, is rough, is going to come down on somebody that may not deserve it, who are you to judge what they deserve? You don't know what they did in their lifetime. God is the kind of God that when he does one thing, it's to answer thousands of other things. I praise him because he is God. He is sovereign. He does not need our help. He does not need our approval. Hallelujah. I don't know where I may end up, but I bless the Lord. I praise him and I thank him. I thank him for my journey thus far, where he has brought me from and what he is yet going to do in me. I thank God for everything that our lovely President Donald Trump does is going to make me better. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Surrender. Surrender to God. We can say we don't have no sin, but that means we're only refusing to accept the truth. The truth is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The truth is there is no good thing in our members. Hallelujah. Nothing but unrighteousness. That's why the word comes to clean us up. And yet we hear the word, hallelujah, but then we won't adapt to the word. We won't allow the word to be used. We won't allow the word to change us. Y'all hear Tamla? Tamla, man, change me, oh God. God sends his word to change us. Hallelujah, but we don't be changed. Some people do. Hallelujah. Okay? We got to confess our sins to the Lord. Because he is the only one that we can depend on to forgive us. People can say they forgive you when you ask them for forgiveness, but that doesn't mean that they really do. Because the minute you show back up doing the same old thing, memory then kick back in. When God forgives you, he casts your sin into the sea of forgetfulness. Hallelujah. Oh, well, what about the dream Kay had? I'm about to tell you. That's the stuff you wouldn't own up to. Still wreaking havoc in your heart, and it will be exposed on the screen. Hallelujah. Okay. We can depend on God to forgive us and to clean us up from everything that's wrong in us. Hallelujah. Yeah, you pride yourselves on not sinning outwardly. But what on earth is in that heart? Hallelujah. And it's perfectly proper for God to do this for us because Christ died to wash away our sins. That's why he died. He's ready with soap, laundry detergent, bleach, alcohol, peroxide, whatever he needs to clean our mess up, he's ready. But if we don't confess it to him, and you can't. Confession is not, God, will you forgive me for every sin that I have committed? You haven't confessed anything. To confess a sin is to say, God, I am a liar. God, I am a fornicator. Hallelujah. Just tell him the truth. Say, I love lying more than I love you. I love fornicating more than I love you. But I need a healing, I need a deliverance. Hallelujah. But don't even go there with God until you're really ready to change. Because he don't need no lip service. He's not even listening to lip service. The scripture that says that if we don't come to God correct, he doesn't even hear our prayers. Hallelujah. Okay? He died for your sins. You don't have to stay in them. Stop choosing to stay in sin. Stop choosing to walk after the carnal man. Put up Isaiah 1 and 18. Read it. Hallelujah. Okay. God does not matter how bad your sin is. You can be a mass murderer. You can, as bad as you think sin can be, that's what you can be. And it doesn't matter to him how bad your sin is, but he'll wash you and clean you of it. But you gotta want it. You gotta want to be clean. You gotta want to change. You gotta want to be different. Can't go to him faking it. God, I just wanna be clean. Hallelujah. And then when he gives you the tools to clean up, then you don't choose to use those tools. He He knows already in your heart. See, that's one of the things that'll come up on the screen. You saying, God, I want to be clean. Hallelujah. But at the same time, he will literally show the dirt that was in your heart that you lied to him. You didn't want to be clean because you didn't want to let go of whatever advantage you felt like you had in the sin that you did. We sin because of what we think is going to give to us, how it's going to satisfy us, how much power we think is going to give us. Hallelujah. And the Lord, have you heard him say, all power belongs to me? Why are you trying to take something that belongs to God? That's an effortless fight. You cannot end up winning. That's the thing with pride. We think we've got the power to choose, the power to direct. Hallelujah. Okay. Let me tell you, I was concerned about these colors, especially since, you know, red is one of my favorite colors. But crimson is red, like different shades of red. Okay. And when it comes to red, when it comes to religion, hallelujah, it symbolizes passion. One of the main things that keep you in sin, in the troubles and the bondage of sin, passion, power, hallelujah. The negative associations with crimson or red is sin and vice, aggression and danger. Y'all know what vice is? Vice, V-I-C-E, immoral or wicked behavior. Hallelujah. Okay. He's like, I will wash you and make you white as snow, white as wool. Hallelujah. White is considered sacred in religion. It signifies divinity. It signifies heavenly realms, enlightenment, light, purity, innocence, perfection, new beginnings, truth. Psychologically, white conveys and it represents or evokes peace, openness, cleanness, simplicity, and clarity of mind. Now, tell me, why would you choose why would you choose red sin over all of the things that being washed white represent? Okay, because we can find ourselves in any one of the definitions or any one of the stages, hallelujah, or significances about white. Jesus said he would wash us white like snow. Hallelujah. Okay. Meaning that there has to be some power in God's eyes in being washed white. One thing I know, thank you, Lord. Every color that you have, another color can hide in it, except white. You cannot hide another color in white. You can hide any other color in any color. You can even hide black in red. You can have black and lime green. Yes, you can. Please, as much as I use permanent marker, the color stuff, I be doing the mixing and matches in the colors. I haven't found one for our carpet yet. I'm still working on it. Okay. You can't hide in white. White represents a lot of things that God has to give to us. Okay? He said, come on, let's talk this over. Doesn't matter how bad your sin is. Doesn't matter how bad you've been stained. But come, let's reason together. Hallelujah. I can take away all of the colors that have discolored your life and make everything white. But see, once he does that, we can't go back and fill it up, fill that white up and dirty that white up, hallelujah, with the crimson red, with the sin, whatever the color it is. Hallelujah. That's why you can't come to him and you faking. You got to be serious. You got to really want change and not want him to change you. Because let me tell you something about change. When you're in sin, some stuff, it's got to be worked out of you. God is not going to just lay his hands on you and all of a sudden you don't want to be with Jim Bob no more. You don't want to be with Nancy Fag no more. Hallelujah. Some stuff got to be worked out of us. We got to know that we've been freed. We got to know that we've been in bondage. And when God takes time to work stuff out of you, you realize the bondage that you were in, especially when you come out. You realize the bondage you were in, hallelujah, and you can glorify him and thank him for your freedom. Because ain't nothing like being free. Hallelujah. Nothing like being free. It's a whole lot of talk about slavery. Hallelujah. I got a lot of questions about slavery. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We even are in living in a day and time where we want to profit off of our ancestors being enslaved. Why? You don't want to go get a job and work and make your own? You don't want to save? You didn't go through that. And what's wrong with the God you serve? He allowed it. Do you understand why? Not necessarily because the white man needed a slave, but maybe because the slaves needed to eat. Oh, sorry, that's a whole nother message. We're caught up on junk and don't even know the real reason why. Taking up fights that the world say we need to be fighting. Only thing we need to be fighting is the wickedness that lies within us. Hallelujah. That's it. Just what lies within us. Psalms 34, 18. Read. Hallelujah. The Lord is close to those whose hearts are breaking. He rescues those who are humbly sorry for their sins. I was just in all kinds of verses. I don't know if that's E-S-T or Living Bible. Hallelujah. But the message is, he's close to us that are heartbroken for the wickedness that we've done. What's the first beatitude? What? Poor in spirit. I mean, your spirit is just downright trodden because you know you know good. Spirit ain't high and lifted up thinking that you okay. You do something right, do nothing right. According to God, we don't do nothing right. We're born in sin, shaping in iniquity. Only right we're going to ever do is to learn him, to learn his way and to walk in it. And when you're going to walk in it, you're not going to change. Nothing can make you change. That's somewhere in Psalms. On the back of one of my phone cases. When you walk in him, nothing can make you change. Because your heart is fixed. Your mind is made up. But you're going to walk in him. Nothing can distract you. Hallelujah. Nothing can get you to turn from the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay? God is close to us when our hearts are breaking because we have been so ugly towards him. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he rescues us. Every one of us that is humbly sorry for our sins, he'll come in and rescue us. Yes, he will. You got to get to the place that you're humbly sorry. But in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Why? Why? You know, that's one of the main questions you ask, why? If something happens in your life, stuff start coming up, why? Why? So now you're going to ask why, or you can't ask why. You probably be feeling like asking why. Why do we got to be so concerned about sin? Hallelujah. Why do we got to walk upright so much? Why? What difference does it make? Think about this. The neighbor that lives right next door to you don't like you because they think you have done some horrific things. And they have made some kind of threats that they're going to put an end to your actions. And you happen to see your neighbor out in their backyard, and they got a big old shotgun now that they didn't used to have. Would that make you kind of afraid? Kind of think, did he get that for me? Is he coming after me? Do I have to be super cheerful from this point on? Am I on the verge of getting shot, blown away with a rifle? The people that watch you, know you, walk after your flesh, after the carnal man, where are you leaving them? Read. Okay, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the world's seasoning. This is the Living Translation, the Living Bible. You are the world's seasoning to make it tolerable. If you lose your flavor, what will happen to the world? And you yourselves will be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You are the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide you. Don't hide your light. I need a printer. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. The problem with you and the neighbor is you profess Christ in front of them, but they get to know some of the things that you do behind closed doors, by seeing your comings and your goings, by seeing your attitude when different things happen in the neighborhood. Why has this neighbor gotten all of a sudden a rifle and want to blow your brains out? You ever been around people that always talk Jesus, 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 and then they cutting up sideways? Y'all haven't? I have. Hallelujah. We are the world's seasoning with a salt. Hallelujah. If you can't season your food with nothing, salt will do it. Don't put too much. Okay? We are the world seasoning. But if we lost our flavor, what's our flavor? Our standing righteousness. Our big talk. But your neighbor want to shoot you because you all talk and no action. Hallelujah. Okay? We are the seasoning of the world. Why? To make it tolerable. In other words, We can't even live in this world if Jesus is not spoken of and praised some kind of way by somebody, and that being for real. In other words, somebody got to praise God for real, hallelujah, and proclaim his goodness for real somewhere. Think about it. Every time you hear about the goodness of the Lord, how God moved miraculously, how he moved just any kind of a way, it makes you happy. It does something positive on your insides. Remember, Shirley was talking this morning about her son. Hallelujah. It gave me a greater hope in God. Hallelujah. Greater trust in God. Like, God, I knew you could do it. It strengthened my confidence in God. And even though people don't believe in God, hallelujah, when you share his goodness, hallelujah, they do take something away from it. Because when something happens to them, when something happens to the people that don't want nothing to do with God, they love the world, when something happens, they're going to come and look for the one who is praying. Yes, they will. Hallelujah. They will look for you. If you had any kind of a light shining, they will look for you. Our praise of God, what he is and what he does for us, hallelujah, it makes the world tolerable for us to stay here. And it makes people that don't know Christ tolerable because there is some kind of hope somewhere. They have not yielded to God. They have not answered maybe a call. Hallelujah. But there is hope. And when you know that there is hope, you can tolerate some of these things that go on in this world. You can tolerate every decision God allows President Donald Trump to make. Hallelujah. Because you know there is hope in God. It's only when we cutting up sideways that we lose our hope. Because our dependency is on ourselves and not on God. Hallelujah. What's going to happen if you lose your salt, your flavor? You can't flavor this world. What's going to happen to the world? I thought about when I was praying about this and reading, and I was like, God, this is why turmoil is so horrific in this day and time we live in. Because a lot of the saints of the Most High God have lost their salt. We're giving in, and it ain't the world. They already worldly. It's the house of God, the people of God that have gone astray. You can sin without even thinking about it. And don't even feel conviction. Hallelujah. You can think and feel things in your heart. You can phantom anything you want in your wildest dreams and don't even get convicted. Hallelujah. I don't think that Trump is coming after, God is allowing Trump as a tool to come after the world, but he's coming after his own. Hallelujah, because we play church. We act as if we're in God. But as soon as God give you an instruction because it's his will, he's not going to fight his word. He's not going to ever go against his word because he is his word. But when he tells us, this is my word, this is what you go by, this is what you do, we reject it, give our butt to God to kiss, and keep on doing our own thing. You lost your soul. Trump coming after the churches. God is allowing him to do what he does. Hallelujah. So the church can get back in order. Because we are all out of order. You look everywhere you look. The church now looks exactly like the world. We mimic the world. Hallelujah. We don't have cutoff points to what we will and will not do. We think the world looks good. It's sharp. Knows everything. I know that's one of the hardest things for you. I know that's one of the hardest words for you to ever receive. That it ain't but one thing to know. And that's God. See, the thing is, when you know God, everything else that needs to translate in your mind, everything you need to understand, everything you need to do and know how to do, God will give it to you when you know Him. Well, He gave it to me anyway. Mercy. Thank Him for mercy. But He has a tool that He's going to use and is using to get His house back in order so they can go back and find their salt so that they can salt the earth. Because some of the earth you got to first start salting is the earth that you see every time you come into the house of God. Some of that world that you see. Hallelujah. When you know your sisters and brothers have got off track, you have got to take a stand for righteousness. Hallelujah. You are your brother's keeper. Instead of agreeing with them, hallelujah, tell them what the word says. Because judgment is going to begin at the house of God, not nobody out there that's pushing drugs in the elementary schools, in the high school. God is not concerned about them because what He can do through us, that can be taken care of. Your prayers cannot even reach God when you're walking after the carnal man and you're in sin. Scripture. Hallelujah. So many prayers God does not hear. The word says He will not hear your prayers. And I'm paraphrasing this one. If you are bound up in sin, if you know you sin and you really don't want forgiveness, you really don't want change, you really don't want to be clean, He will not hear your prayers. Well, where is it? Find it. You like researching? Research God. Research His word. Find it. It's there in about two or three places in scripture. And God won't hear your prayers. When you sin, we worry about God. You didn't answer this. God, things are still the same. That's why we take matters into our own hands. Because we'd rather take matters into our own hands than to repent and to give up our ways. Hallelujah. He says, you're the light of the world. Hallelujah. You're just like a city that sits up on a hill, glowing in the night for everybody to see. Hallelujah. Why you want to hide your light? Sometimes we don't even want people to know that we're in Christ. We don't even want people to know that we believe in Him. We walk with Him. Sometimes we get around people, we are ashamed to say that we are children of God. We are Christians. We are, hallelujah, walking in faith, trying to get into His kingdom. Hallelujah. You've got to let the righteousness that Christ desires to be in you, and to be shown to the world. Hallelujah, so that they can praise your Heavenly Father. You ever ministered to somebody, talked to somebody, gave a witness testimony, encouraged somebody that was not in Christ? And when you finish, they started praising God and thanking God? You haven't heard that? That's my God. You need to have that experience. Because people out here are sick. Everywhere they are sick. I'm not talking about a physical sickness, spiritual sickness. When you go into the stores, you should let somebody know the Lord loves them. Hallelujah. Ask them, say, do you want to come to Christ? Might be a quick move, but ain't no harm in trying. Ain't no harm in building God's kingdom. Tear your bricks down. Get rid of the sheetrock. Get rid of the floors. Tear your kingdom down. You will not build God's kingdom as long as yours is standing. And your kingdom stands in your desires, your will. Hallelujah, stands in the lust of your flesh and your eye and your pride and your life. That's how our kingdom stands. Hallelujah. We can't even draw souls to God with a standing kingdom. Tear it down. A lot of people want to know, what's my purpose? To get out in the hedges and the highways and compel people to come to Christ. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. Hallelujah. And you can't do that until you have completed the first part of your purpose, which is to live holy, walk upright before the Lord your God. I love you too. I ain't gonna get punished for you though. Ephesians 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Simple. It's maybe like the third time he said it, just in the scriptures that we had, just these, but it's so many more that contain the same message. We have forgiveness of our sins. We just got to go and claim it. Y'all know y'all got all them little things on your phone. Oh, you just won $100. You just won this and won that and other. Don't be trying to claim that. Okay, because they might hack your account. Hallelujah. But God is letting us know we can claim deliverance from our sin. That's not what we're looking for. Hallelujah. We have redemption through his blood. We can be made free. We can come up out of bondage, because sin ain't nothing but bondage. It is. Hallelujah. The joy that you... That joy you feel in some of the most inner parts. Don't get disturbed when the stuff start rotting. Back and forth at MedHelp, MedStar, Kaiser, Blue Cross, Blue Shield. And all you're trying to do is get rid of the effects of sin. Sin got a dear price for you to pay. And maybe you haven't gotten the invoice yet. Turn to the Lord before you get an invoice. Because the thing is, if you turn to him and get free, when the invoice comes, I ain't saying the invoice ain't coming, it's coming. But when it comes, he'll give you mercy in how to pay it. Show you how to pay it, to lessen some of your pain. I cannot promise you, and I will not lie and say, if you surrender now to God, you won't even feel the effects of what you have done. Oh, you will, because the word says nothing goes undetected, nothing goes unpunished. I love y'all so much. Acts 17, verse 30. In the times of his ignorance, God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hallelujah. Before the word of God was preached to the Gentiles, remember, Israel is his chosen people. The Gentiles were not. But God had already determined that his word would be preached to the Gentiles. But while he's trying to call and to get his people to accept him, The Gentiles are still doing their own thing. And that's probably one of the things Israel got mad at. You get mad sometimes because you got to live holy and everybody else can just let it all hang out. Yeah. You get mad because God convicts you. Hallelujah. And what you're doing ain't that bad, but somebody else over there is doing gruesome stuff and the Lord is not saying anything to them. Who are you to determine God's timing? You didn't create the person that's messing up, so you don't get to say when their correction comes. So before the Gentiles was taught the gospel of Jesus Christ, they were still cutting up. And the scripture says God winked at them. You think he gave them a cute little twinkle in an eye? So one of the definitions for wink is to avoid seeing or noticing something. Avoid. Not totally forget about, but to avoid seeing or noticing something. Hallelujah. Wink also is a brief period of sleep. God, in his direction toward them, his word toward them, his movement toward them, he let it sleep. His feelings toward them, he let it sleep. It was not time for him to jump on the Gentiles. No, don't even use it. You cannot use it because you are a Gentile that's been engrafted in. The word of God has been preached to you. And once the word is preached to you, then that's when you have to follow it. Once you hear the word, hallelujah, it's up to you to receive it and follow it. The word had not been yet preached to the Gentiles. God was trying to take care of Israel. They were supposed to be the light that would salt the earth, salt the world. They failed at it dramatically. Hallelujah. Okay. But the Lord says, remember Ecclesiastes chapter 3? To everything there is a time. Hallelujah. Okay. So time and a purpose to everything under the heavens. We're under the heavens. It wasn't their time to have to decide, okay, you're going to hear the word, now you live right. So he winked. He took a pause. He avoided dealing with them because he already was dealing with Israel. Hallelujah. We are no longer in the dispensation where God is winking at us. He's saying, stop. Come up out of sin. Surrender to me. Don't worry about how things look, how they may be. I got it all in control. And when you trust me and yield to me, I got you. Nothing and no one can snatch you out of my hands. And no one can do anything to you that I don't permit. And if I permit it, it's because I love you and I need something cleaned up out of you. Hallelujah. Okay. Y'all know I love you, right? But Jeremiah 29, you love 11, I love 13. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search with me search for me with all your heart. That's it in a nutshell. That's your clincher. See, the fake seek don't work. The fake, Lord, forgive me for everything I've done, every sin I committed. And the Lord was like, well, what was it? If you're going to worship him, it's got to be in spirit and in truth. You got to be truthful about you. You got to. Hallelujah. Okay? You're going to search for him and you'll find him, but only if it's with all your heart. You can't leave a piece of your heart over there to still think and have issues with your supervisor. Hallelujah. With the doctors and the nurses. Hallelujah. Shirley could have found out could have identified a lot of things that they were doing wrong concerning her son. But she chose to praise God for what he was doing, not what she thought should have been done. God, any way, any improvement you make, I'll be satisfied. Any way you bless Reggie, I'll be satisfied. Hallelujah. She's learning now, hallelujah, because if she's still here and the Lord take him away, she can say, God, whatever you decide, I can be satisfied. Hallelujah. The choices, we think we got a lot of choices, but the choices are not ours to make. It's just for us to walk in righteousness and yield to the Lord. That's your clincher. You're going to go to God. You got to go straight. You got to go in truthfulness. Hallelujah. Otherwise, you'll remain the same and eventually just get worse. Hallelujah. You can't hide sin. You can laugh over it. You can joke over it. Hallelujah. You can drum up other emotions over it. Won't work. It's no freedom. It's no freedom in lying about sin, lying about how you feel. We know exactly what's down on the inside. Hallelujah. A lot of us are inward, gruesome, and inward, gruesome feelings. Asking the sir, I'd rather just strangle you and get it on out the way and then just love up on you like I always did. Because long as I am going ballistic, I'm good. You don't want me to get quiet. That's not tell yourself, surrender to God. Tell yourself to get rid of your foolishness. Stop living a lie, thinking there's no sin in you. Surrender to God. Our days are growing short. Time is winding up. Hallelujah. It's scripture all through the word since the preaching of the kingdom of Christ, since Matthew. It talks about our timing. And if you get into the word, you'll see that you really don't have a time to fool around. Because the coming of the Lord, the second coming of Christ, is so soon. You don't want to be left back here for the tribulation. Because you won't be the one of the multitude of numbers that no man can number. Because you will have already had your chance to accept Christ. Hallelujah. But your rejection of him now, you're rejecting the Holy Spirit. And that's your last possible chance. If we had the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the earth and led the disciples and the prophets of old and the people of old, and then you had the dispensation where Christ walked. Hallelujah. He's gone to prepare a place for us, and he left us his Holy Spirit. This is our last opportunity to accept Christ. It's during the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Don't be fooled to think you will make it through the tribulation period, because you will not. You will have rejected the last opportunity. The people that's coming through the great tribulation are people that never had a chance to accept him and receive him. We have had that chance. Scripture, you search and find it. But it says if you don't take him now through this dispensation of the Holy Spirit, you will not be able to accept him in the great tribulation. Hallelujah. Okay. Love up on the Lord. Get to know him. And one of the main ways you get to know him is through his word. When you surrender, it's not enough to read the word, but you got to surrender to what you read. You got to surrender to God because he is his word. Hallelujah. Okay. I love you. God, let your word you know how you let that angel that came before you and said, I can go and trouble them because I'll be a lying spirit. He allowed his angel caught. God sent an angel to trouble us, that your word would get planted in us and that we would surrender to your word, because your word is you. God, don't let up on us. Hallelujah. God, fight for us a different way, please. Send your angels, whatever you gotta do to jack us up. We would change, we would repent for real. God, we need to get into your kingdom. Thank you, Lord. I claim it by faith. Hallelujah. Give him some praise.